The first reading is taken from Luke chapter 10, reading verses 1 to 17. It can be found on page 72 of the New Testament section of the Church Bible. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." Here ends the first reading.
Our second reading this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. "Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Do you want to come down here, or are you happy there? Are you happy there? That's fine. It's my best side. Good morning. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us here this morning. And help us, your family, your church, your body, your people, to hear your word and praise your name. Amen. Well, this is it. It's felt a bit like the long goodbye, I have to say. Emma and I have known since March 2018 that we will be leaving. So in some ways, it feels like a bit of a relief to get to this point. And in some ways, it's really, really sad. This is my final sermon to you in my role as vicar of this parish and this amazing church community. And I want to begin by saying a huge thank you. Thank you for your prayers and support for me and for Emma and for Toby and for Molly over the past 5 years. Thank you for the encouraging emails, for the gifts and cards we've received, especially in the last few weeks, and the encouraging conversations that I've had. We are going to miss being here. Since arriving in 2014, I have gained more grey hair and also some varifocals. Emma and I have seen Molly through university get married here a few weeks ago and move into full-time employment. And Toby has reached the end of his school career, just finishing his A-levels. It's been a real privilege to spend many hours with many of you sharing in ministry, in grief and loss, in joy and thankfulness, in friendship and support, and with plenty of food, coffee, the occasional pint or glass of wine along the way. We have begun the exciting adventure of the Avonside Mission Area, which is increasingly leading to growth and to kingdom fruit. We've enjoyed, or some of you endured, many changes, experiments, false starts, and ministry surprises. We've built on the work of previous generations. We've seen God's faithfulness and hand at work amongst us. This has been a special place for me and for us as a family. And whilst we're sad to be leaving Bristol, we're also convinced that this is God's call on our lives and that it's God's kingdom that we are serving. A number of people have expressed surprise at our move north, including some of my colleagues. But in the kingdom of the world, it doesn't make a right lot of sense. But in the kingdom of God, it makes a whole lot of sense. And that's what I want to preach about this morning, based on the two passages that we've heard, seeking to live in the kingdom of God rather than the kingdom of the world. So often that is a really tough choice, perhaps especially for those of us who are wealthy. Let's begin with the reading from the Hebrews. No one knows who wrote this letter. If you want to turn it up, I think it's page 241 in the Bibles around the churches. And no one knows who's written this letter or who the letter was written to precisely, but we know that it was written to the early church. And one of the main messages of the letter is, don't fall back into your old religion. Don't fall back into your old religion, in this case of Judaism. Don't fall back. Keep on in your faith. Don't fall back into the religion of mere church going. Don't fall back into the kingdom of the world. Rather, the letter calls us, exhorts us to press into, to claim and live in the new life we have been given, the new way of living as followers of Jesus, as his disciples, to discover and own the promises of God made known in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Chapter 10, verse 19 reminds us that Jesus has taken away the barrier that divided us from God by dying in our place. More than that, he's taken those of us who follow Jesus right into the very presence of God. Our home, our identity, is in the throne room of God. He is our King, we are his people, our home is his kingdom, living in his ways. Jesus makes each of us welcome. Not because we deserve it, but because God loves us and gives it to us, and we are prepared to accept that invitation. That is the good news of Jesus. Verse 21 reminds us that Jesus is representing us as our heavenly priest now in the present, speaking for us, presenting us holy before the fullness of God. We are children of God, citizens of the kingdom now. Our current sermon series has reminded us of the barrier set up by humanity's fall away from God in Genesis 3. We see evidence of that fall everywhere in the world. Every time we see the news or are victims or perpetrators of sinful, ungodly behavior. We've been reminded that the consequence of this was the impenetrable barrier between us and God, preventing us from being fully with God. That barrier was physically represented by the Jerusalem temple curtain, which separated the Holy of Holies, God's presence from his people, a physical representation of it. And that same curtain, we're reminded, was torn in two by God at Jesus' death. That barrier is gone for those who believe in Jesus. We have unfettered access to God, God's love and healing power and promises. We have the freedom to live under the kingship of Jesus, under the sovereignty of God, in the kingdom of God. We have become God's people, receiving God's promises and God's provision, which is very good news. And yet, it is so easy to forget about that good news and slip back into our old ways. Why is that so easy? Well, it's getting much harder to be a Christian in this country, I think, which is a good thing. Because it's highlighting the difference between being a Christian and not being a Christian. That difference is growing as society continues to change. Following Jesus is becoming an increasingly different way of life. And living that difference can be really tough. There is a famous joke that the Church of England people don't lose their faith, they just forget where they've put it. I think that was probably true a few years back, maybe half a generation ago. Now I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that the truth in that humor is still accurate. There is a lot of evidence of the rise of the nuns, and that's not some sort of new horror film. It's an increase in those who tick none when they're asked what faith or religion do they have or follow. It's increasing everywhere. Even here in Stoke Bishop, if you look at the stats, there remain many people who rightly see this as the parish church, as the church who are here to serve them. But in a generation's time, we run the risk of that not being true. These are all symptoms of the decline of the influence of the church and of Christian faith, the decline in numbers of those who call themselves Christians and come to church. This rapidly changing context makes it so easy to fall away from the truth of the good news of the gospel. The miraculous and great gift of our free access to love and presence, the love and the presence and the promises of the living God through Jesus, it makes it all too easy to slip back into the kingdom of the world, trusting in our own gifts and our talents and abilities, relying on our wealth and our worldly wisdom, relying on ourselves and what we own, and forgetting the immense riches and promises of God. Relegating our faith in Jesus Christ to a Sunday-only thing that we do when we can fit it into our lives. That slippage isn't something that most of us choose. It's something that just happens when we lose sight of the grace and the riches of God. And that's a danger for all of us. So what's the antidote to this? How can we prevent this slippage and live in the kingdom? Firstly, by speaking of God. I leave this church and the mission area hugely encouraged. Increasingly, I hear people speaking about the reality of their faith and the impact of it on their daily lives, the reality of a relationship with Jesus and the difference that makes. In the past couple of weeks alone, I've heard people talk about how they're telling people at work that they're Christians, that they're praying for friends and neighbors, that they believe God has brought them healing, that they trust in the Lord in their difficult circumstances or health, that they are learning that God is faithful, I hear people speaking about how they are living in the kingdom of God. These are real connections with the living God in real lives outside Sundays. We're bringing our faith out into the open, and that's fantastic. And as I leave, I want to encourage you and encourage myself as well to continue in that, to increasingly boast in God's work in your lives, to share what God is doing, because that encourages each of us to continue to hold fast to our faith, and it helps those who don't yet believe to see God, the real living God, really at work in the real world. And if you're here this morning and you'd say you don't know the reality of God in your life, then you are most welcome to join in, to ask God to reveal himself, to touch your life, and to be open to that happening. As I reflect on our last 5 years' journey, these God conversations are a welcome change in the life of this church. Those of you who've been around and have kind of gone through the two surveys that we've done will know that we've self-identified as not being very good at speaking about our faith. That's changing. And I pray that this new confidence in God and the reality of faith in God leads to new people coming to know the life and the hope and the love of God. I pray that in the next 12 months, you will see new people coming to faith, being baptized in this very building. Living in God's kingdom means speaking about how God is working in our lives. That's the first antidote. The second is this, returning to the Hebrews passage, living in God's kingdom means provoking one another. Just gently provoke the person next to you by giving them a small poke in the ribs. It's very gentle. If you don't know them very well, perhaps you might not want to do it. But just poke them. Provoke them. Hebrews calls us to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Provoke one another to love and good deeds, says that passage we heard from Hebrews 10. Our church community and the mission area is the main vehicle for doing that. Last week, as an example, we heard from David and Lucy Swithinbank, who stood just here at the 10:30 service and spoke about their involvement in the food bank hosted by our mission area partner church in Avonmouth. Real difference being made to real people by the church community, inspired by God's love for others. And that sharing has provoked others to do likewise. There are examples most weeks from the front or on the notice sheet of these provocations to love and good works. Living in the kingdom of God is about provoking one another to love and good works. And then thirdly, there is a challenge in this passage. The third way to prevent slipping back into the kingdom of the world. It is a key factor in provoking to love and good works. And it is meeting together. It is very difficult to provoke in an empty space. The writer of the Hebrews says in verse 25 of chapter 10, do not neglect to meet together. It was an issue then too. It's really good to see you all here this morning. It's lovely to see people who've moved to other churches. It's lovely to see people from my previous church as well, sitting right at the back. Hi, Phil. There are people here from across Emma and my and Toby's life for the last 13 years or so in Bristol. But aside from Remembrance, Christmas, and Easter, I suspect this is the fullest the church has been since I was licensed. Possibly slightly less full than when David left. And I know that we're kind of meeting together. This is a joint service, so it's a bit different. I'm aware also that there are some people here who've delayed their holidays to be here, and I'm really humbled by that. Thank you so much for that. Look around. Look around you. There are quite a lot of people in here. Have a quick look. Look behind you. It's nice to see. It's good to see. Wouldn't it be great? Don't forget to look at the choir, by the way. They'll get... Wouldn't it be great if we continue to treat gathering together with a similar priority most weeks? You know, when you are not here, you are missed, and the church is poorer for it. I get that we have to go and see family at weekends and have holidays. I understand all that. Heaven knows I enjoy mine. But please don't slip into occasional church going. Don't forget where you put your faith. Don't slide out of the kingdom of God and back into the kingdom of the world through neglect. Continue to regularly meet together as a priority to encourage and provoke and share the good news of Jesus together. Whether that be on Sundays or in messy church or in midweek groups or in prayer triplets, meet together and provoke one another to love and good works. Living in God's kingdom means making time to meet with our fellow citizens, the family of God, the church, so that we can do that. And it means speaking about our faith. And finally, you'll be pleased to hear, living in the kingdom of God is about being bold. For the Lord your God is with you, to quote the song that we had at the beginning of the service. Be bold, not comfortable. Throughout the Bible and in many of our testimonies, the kingdom of God is most clearly seen when we are bold. Isaac and Beth are very much like us. They were young, in their early 20s, no children yet, but they'd been married for a few months. They'd been following Jesus around Galilee with his staff team of 12 men and the women who followed him. They'd seen Jesus do some incredible things, healing people, teaching new exciting things about God's welcome and love and forgiveness, and he told great stories too. Jesus gave hope and life to people. He was so inspiring. What an amazing man. Such a buzz, such a privilege to follow him. A few days ago, Jesus had sent his staff team of 12 out. He told them that they too could do the things that he was doing. They were obviously a bit nervous at first to go and proclaim the kingdom, but they went. And they came back telling people God's stories of what God had done through them. They were totally pumped about it. It was great to hear how God was faithful as they did things in Jesus' name. Jesus took his staff team off for a bit of a rest, retreat, but we, as in Beth and Isaac, followed him with a whole load of other people, in fact around 5,000, heard more great stories and teaching and watched in awe as Jesus fed every one of us on the lake shore with food to spare. And then yesterday, Jesus turned to 70 other people who were following him, including Isaac and Beth, and sent them out to do what he did, and to do what his staff team of apostles had done, to talk about the good news of the kingdom and to heal the sick. Imagine what that felt like. Excitement, perhaps fear at doing it wrong, or worse, of rejection, maybe uncertainty. They would have needed to be bold, to trust that Jesus knows what he's doing, to step out. Imagine what those 70 felt as they walked off with no bag, nothing of their own to rely on. Imagine what it felt like going like a lamb into the midst of wolves. That was how Jesus described it. Not the most encouraging thing to say to people just about to go off. Just trust in Jesus. Imagine what that felt like. Well, Jesus sends me, and Jesus sends you, to do the same. Never trust your associate setting this lectern up. Jesus sends me, and Jesus sends you to do the same. He sends us, like he sent the 70, into our places of work and leisure, into our homes. My fellow lambs, we too are called to boldly go, trusting not on what we already have, on our wealth or our talents or our professional experience, but trusting in Jesus and being bold to speak and to act, to live in the kingdom of God, to provoke one another to love and good works, to take time together. In the coming months, it would be very easy to slip back into comfort as you wait for your new vicar. Please don't do that. Please continue to be bold. In fact, get bolder not because of any sense of your own abilities, not because of what is in your bag, but because the Lord your God is with you and with us. Be bold. Luke 10 tells us that the 70 return with joy because it worked. They saw God at work in and through them. They spoke about it. They shared it as they met together with Jesus. They provoked one another to love and to good deeds. We are each to do likewise. We are each to speak about God's impact. Hold for a second. Hold that thought. We are each to do likewise. We are each to speak about God's impact in our lives. No matter how minor we might think that is. We are each to provoke one another to love and good deeds, to keep meeting together, and to be bold. Speak about God. Provoke one another, meet together, and be bold. At the end of that passage, it didn't really go all the way to the end, but at the end of the passage in Luke, Jesus reminds the 70 who return to rejoice that they know God. Not to rejoice at what they've seen happen through them, but to rejoice that their names are written in the book of life. Held it together all until now. The water. Jesus reminds them to rejoice that their names are written in the book of life. We start and end with the new life following Jesus and making him known. We begin from the throne room of God as citizens of heaven, living in the kingdom of God where Jesus constantly welcomes each one of us. God bless you all. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, thank you that you call each one of us in your name and because of your death and resurrection. You invite us and welcome us into the very presence of God. Thank you, Lord, that all we have to do is accept that invitation, to believe in your words for us, to know a new life and a new way of living. Lord, I pray that if there are people in here who would like to do that for the first time, that even now they will be saying, yes, Lord, I want to accept your invitation to me. And Lord, I pray for those of us who've already accepted that invitation. I pray that we would continue to speak about who you are to us and about our experience of you, no matter how small that might seem. Help us to be those who speak boldly. Help us to be those who continue to meet together. Help us to be those who provoke one another to love and good deeds. Help us to be bold because you are with us. So go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage, hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted, honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for this community. Amen.
Good morning. We come to our time of intercessions now. A little bit later, we'll be praying for Matt and the family. So these prayers are going to focus on the world and others, using change and transitions as a theme. When I say faithful, unchanging God, please would you join in praying by responding, hear our prayer. Let's pray.